Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. Please do your will with them, Lord. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not from you, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our look at the creation account. And this morning, I want to take a look at creation and marriage. Not about the little things that make a woman happy, as I clearly know little about those things. Every morning I wake up, look deep into my wife's beautiful blue, gray, or brown eyes, whatever color they are, and I look at her and I say, "Honey, you are so blessed to have me." And she turns and looks at me and says, "You're right." And I have no idea what to do with that. She just confounds me. She goes, "You're right, honey." And I don't know, just doesn't feel like I want anything, you know? But this is about the fundamental spiritual reasons for marriage. Now, I want to step way back, all the way back to God's perspective, and try to get the big picture understanding of for better or worse. In the end, I think we will find that the worse in us that marriage is meant to address so that we can become better. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Since these words were spoken by God, "It is not good that a man be alone," men have been asking each other and God one question: why not? What exactly is it that we needed help with? Things appeared to be just wonderful for Adam, running around creation naked, naming critters, getting up when he wanted, going to bed when he pleased, taking a shower only when it rained. His man cave was literally a cave. No socks that matched his tie. No tie. Women invented ties to remind us they're in charge. No one knew or cared what color mauve or chartreuse was. No scented candles, just the raw smells of nature that came from the back corner of the cave where the throne was. When it got full, you just moved to another cave. Oh, and the paper, the leaves, were always hung over the top. They never came up from the bottom. The seat never had to be put down because there was no seat. Scattered around the throne were old issues of Clubs and Spears magazine and old trophies from victorious games of Pull My Finger he played with the chimps. He hung out with God. He had him over to watch the wildebeest races. Adam wasn't lonely. He wasn't bored. He never had to take his shoes off when he came home. He didn't need women to make more of us because God had just breathed into some dirt and made Adam. And there was no shortage of dirt. God had just made a giant planet covered in it. It's notable that God did not consult with Adam when he made Eve. He didn't ask Adam what he wanted the woman to be, do, or look like. In fact, I think God put Adam to sleep simply to silence his suggestions regarding the matter. God was interested in what Adam needed, not so much what he wanted. Testosterone would take care of the want part of the relationship. God's idea of fun with chemistry. A world of perpetually young, amorous, Swedish bikini models who loved to cook and clean and never complained about anything was not what God had in mind for man. It's not good that man was alone because man is a nincompoop who believes that he is God or one who wants to be God. Men need help seeing that they are nincompoops. Women created to tell men they are nincompoops, and they have been doing so with zestful enthusiasm since they first looked upon men. It's your job, ladies, your divine mission. Do it with all your heart. The term helper is used by God for a woman's role in life. Now it is also used in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit. The one who helps us know and understand ourselves, the other helps us know and understand God. The one stays with us till death parts us, and the other stays with us forever. John 14:16 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," indicating that there was one already giving, that he may be with you forever. So you're getting another helper, and this one will be with you forever. The reason it was not good that we are alone, what we need help with, was our pride, the pervasive disease of free will. It is hard to comprehend what afflicts us if we exist in a social vacuum. It's hard to see that we do not love our neighbors as ourselves if we have no neighbors. It must be noted that when God made woman from man, the nincompoop gene was not spliced out, ladies. It fully transferred to women with all of its glory. God knew that binding two nincompoops together with love and strong physical attraction would help produce the desired effect, humility. It makes no sense for men to complain about women. What they are came directly from us. If we complain about them, we simply complain about ourselves. Women, fundamentally, are what men are. God's creation, who persistently believes that they created God. They are loved by God as deeply as men are, and they have been lavished by God with his grace, just as men. Brothers and sisters, we are here to learn humility so that we can all become the sons of God. And I tell you once again, sons has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with title. But for that to happen, we must be humbled by the truth. The truth that only close quarter combat of wills, that joyful wedded bliss reveals. There are a few things that will humble you, like marriage and family. If you think you're God, get married. Your delusion will be quickly challenged by someone who is the same kind of crazy as you. In the beginning, God made one become two. And directly after that, God made the same two become one again. Why? Because we need to see ourselves exactly as we are. We need the truth that marriage makes us see to be freed from a pride. The truth that it exposes by prolonged close proximity that we cannot escape. It's the mirror that we are not permitted to look away from. Genesis 2, 21 through 24. This is why men have trouble sleeping. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up. The Lord God fashioned into woman the rib which he had taken from man, and he brought her to the man. And I often have a mental picture of that as she appears, and he goes, "What is that? I don't know what it is, but I like it. What else can you make, Lord?" Yeah. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." In the beginning, before we fell, we completely understood the relationship and its purpose. Because it wasn't God who proclaimed to Adam, "She is you." It was Adam who proclaimed to God, "She is me." God, make something else. I got 10 toes you could use. It says that God fashioned women out of Adam's rib. The Hebrew word is bana, which according to Strong's means to build. God built Eve to do what must be done for mankind. God knew what he wanted, and he made it exactly as he wanted it, like a potter fashioning a vase on a wheel. Intrinsically, God made her exactly like man. But superficially, he designed her to be frustratingly, exasperatingly, and irritatingly different. He succeeded. She expresses and tries to obtain her own will, just like man does, but in a completely different manner, usually. This confounds men. Who do women think they are, trying to manipulate us when we are trying to manipulate them? I'm God, not her. Frustration with the opposite sex is often frustration with oneself. This frustration, this epic battle of wills, is exactly what we all need. The conflict is the better, and for better or worse. The conflict. The great American philosopher Rodney Dangerfield said it best. "My wife and I are happy for over 20 years. Then we met." There are surely many good and pleasant things that marriage does for us. But those things end when we end. Being conformed to the image of Christ is a benefit that lasts forever. Anything that causes me to die to myself and live for another is a gift of kind, immeasurable grace coming directly from the hand of God. Marriage and family as a whole helps us learn to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's not just that you see your pride more clearly, but also blesses us by showing the value of somebody else. Love is the sword that slays pride. Marriage gives you a tangible reason to draw that sword on your own pride. Harming ourselves may never be a good enough reason to end our self-destructions and our delusions of grandeur. But seeing that it harms another, someone we love, someone we are so close to that we feel their pain, can kindle our hearts the desire to change. And brothers and sisters, all God needs is the desire to change. God designed marriage for his people for his purpose, and it has never failed one time to do what it was designed to do. We may have failed marriage, but marriage has never failed us. Romans 8:28-29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ, so that, the reason for all of this, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. There is nothing in the lives of Christians that God will not use for our good. And it tells us what this good is, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And it tells us why that happens, so that we could be the sons of God. Marriage is part of all things. And it was implemented by God for the purpose of changing us into the image of love that Jesus Christ is. What a beautiful way to learn. And what a pleasant way to die to yourself daily. He made us physically and emotionally unavoidable to each other, so that we could not avoid our cancerous pride. We will never obtain glory and power of God until we obtain and express the love of God. You cannot have the others without the love. Like all other things in life, family helps to conform us to the image of Christ. And the word conform denotes a change that requires time, effort, sacrifice, and force. It hints at something that is brought about from an outside force, not our natural wills. We are being conformed by something. To be made acceptable to a standard through pressure, or to be made similar through effort. Family is one of the design parts of God's effort to make us similar to Christ. Well, there are many things that family does for us, and many things we both value and despise about it at times. Family is primarily a mechanism to achieve the eternal and spiritual purpose of God for his children. By design, our greatest joys and our deepest sorrows of this life are linked to family. Because there are two spiritual and eternal purposes for family. First, to help us to know God. How can we describe God and his relation to us without a family term? Without father, without bride, without son? We do not know the God we are separated from without these terms. And the second is to help us know who we are, which is the beginning of sanctification. G.K. Chesterton said, "I have known many happy marriages, but never a compatible one. The whole aim of marriage is to fight through and survive the instant when incompatibility becomes unquestionable." Brothers and sisters, two people who both believe they are God are not compatible. If you bind together two people who believe they are God, both will have to die a little to find peace with themselves and with each other. The verse we should read at weddings is 2 Corinthians 4:11. "For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." I owe Cheryl so very much. But the most important thing she has ever done for me is be patient with me, which is what love is, while I am being conformed to the image of Christ. She is helping me become a son of God. Red Skelton said, "All men make mistakes, but married men find out about them sooner." Amen. And so do women. This is a good thing. It's what it's meant to do. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself." Is that one of the fundamental laws that Jesus said? There's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbors. You love yourself. Start there. Work your way out. To fulfill the commandment to love your neighbors, we love ourselves. We have to change our view of our neighbor and of ourselves. Marriage helps us do both of those things by design. Amen.